Hello, and welcome to Creston Global's The International Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Hannah, your host, and we're back with two new incredible guests to continue our discussions around the entrepreneurial mindset. Today, we're visiting Latin America to get their take on the Creston Global Entrepreneur Report. If you've just joined us as a new listener, I'd recommend listening to episode 1, part 1, for some general housekeeping on how this podcast works. But in short, we'll be speaking with our new guests for two mini episodes, if you will. Our discussion will be split over a part 1 and part 2, part 2 being released next week, to keep these sessions easily digestible for busy listeners. Anyway, let's get to it. I'm thrilled to have our episode 4 entrepreneurs here today, representing the Latin American arm of Creston Global. Would you both like to introduce yourselves?
Hello, this is Francisco Bracamonte. I am from Mexico, from a firm called Creston BSG. I'm leading the firm. We have offices in 8 different parts of Mexico, in the main cities. I'm in a city that is called Puebla. It's not very known, but it's very close to Mexico City. And I'm an accountant and also a lawyer. I studied both careers, and I'm in the tax and legal practice of the firm. I'm in Creston since 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago. On Sundays I used to play golf. I like golf. I have 2 kids, and it's a pleasure being here.
My name is Cesar Ramos. I'm from Brazil. I have been working with the accounting and the auditing almost 25 years now. My company name is Creston Partnership. We are based in São Paulo. We have around 100 employees in our office. I'm also a member of the Global Audit Group at Creston. And in my free time, I love to play soccer. I think this is the most interesting that I do besides work. So that's my day routine.
For a little bit of background, Creston Global is an international accountancy network that brings the best minds in business accountancy together. I think a great place to start would be to hear how you both got into accounting in the first place as a career, and what inspired you to become an accounting entrepreneur in your own right.
Maybe I can start. Like, when I finished my elementary school in Brazil, I have to look for a job because I have no money, so. And then I saw some options in Brazil. It was, we call trainee. Trainee is the first level for auditing. And I was really interested to be a trainee because I saw the name was trainee. It was an English name. I said, okay, it's very exciting. But to be honest, I didn't know what accounting was at that time. But then I got this opportunity to work as a trainee for auditing. And my company in that time was a Baker Tilly, the company in Brazil. And of course, they requested me to start like study accounting in the university. So then my life with accounting started like from my needs to work and then an opportunity to be a trainee at another auditing firm, and here I am, like, after 25 years, everything that I have so far, all the travel that I have done in other countries, it's I can say it's because that I have been luck, and also I took all the opportunities to work in the accounting area. That was my relation with accounting.
Yes, I can talk about this also. I studied, my first career was accountancy. and I started working in audit in a firm here in my city that is was part of Arthur Andersen. I was working in audit for around 6 years. I discovered that I prefer to be on taxes, so I went again to the university, being older, and I study law, and since then I'm working on taxes. We started a small firm at that time, and in 2002 we had around 5 years of being working in the firm. The firm was bigger at that time, and we joined to Creston in 2002, and since then we have grown a lot. Now we are around 300 people. We are in 8 different cities. We are 15 partners, and this is my path in the accountancy.
And to give listeners a little more of an idea about you as people and what makes you tick, we thought, as is customary, we'd ask an icebreaker question, if you don't mind humouring us. If you could have dinner with anyone in the world, past or present, who would it be and why?
I don't know, probably a lot of people, but probably Mahatma Gandhi is one of the biggest figures in history, in my opinion. The way he used to resolve the problems were really smart. He was concentrated in having an emotional balance, in not falling only in anger and doing irrational things. So the way he conducted the independence of India and the conciliation between different religions was pretty smart, no? So I think it's an example in today's world that is with a lot of problems and violence and hate. So I think we should take some example of this guy, no? Even for work, no? The perseverance and the leadership is something that we can learn about in these times. So I choose Mahatma Gandhi to have a dinner with him.
Yeah, in my case, possibly if I had a chance to meet the Elizabeth Queen, for me it was like a great opportunity, because I was watching the Netflix series, and I was very interested to know more details about her life, and for sure I think it was pretty cool to have this kind of a dinner and discussion about all of her history, and yeah, that's something that I'd like to do if it's possible, maybe someday, maybe.
Great answers there. So on to the Creston Global Entrepreneur Report, which is the reason why we're all together today in the first place. What was the most surprising finding showcased by the research for you? And why did it stand out to you in particular?
For me, there are a lot of points to highlight in this report. And probably the most interesting part for me is the things that the clients want. Because in the past, we used to think that if you are good technically, it's more than enough to have good clients and happy clients. And we discovered that this thing is probably in the third line of of what the client is wishing. The most important thing, as I remember in the paper, is that you know your community and you know the local regulations. So it's important that for a foreign company, you not only give tax services, legal services, audit or whatever, but you can also introduce with some part of the community that is necessary for the client to start doing business in the country. Other point that is something that we should concentrate according to the report is in the responsiveness of the petitions of the client's petitions or requests. Sometimes we are not fast to answer, or we don't even answer an email. Okay, I'm studying your case. I will send an email in a couple of days giving you the answer. So now the speed of business is different. The clients need a very fast answer, need a very, I don't know how to say, but a very good behavior or attitude from the from the consultant about answering. So it has changed. In the past, probably if you were a good lawyer or a good accountant or a good whatever, is more than enough, no? And now the client is assuming that you are good because you are part of an international firm, and it's not the only characteristic that he or she is wishing in your service. So this was very surprising. Another point was that clients are looking at Africa. In the past, probably this continent is not a good or appropriate place for doing business. Now the countries are growing and the international companies are thinking of investing in Africa. It's a very good point as a human, because I think they are going to have more opportunities. But it's also surprising because as a network, we need to be strong in that continent also. So these are my perspective.
Yeah, I totally agree with Francisco, and regarding the response speed, we do have this problem in my office, of course, because we always try to answer the customer in 24 hours maximum. So, and I think in the past we didn't have the internet, so and after the globalization. Everyone, they expect to receive your comments or any kind of a response as quickly as you can. So this is something that we are always improving my office, because especially most of our customer is from Europe or from US, and some of those from Mexico as well. And we know how important it is to have this kind of communication very, very fast. So that's something that I can add on Francisco's comments.
Now, looking more to your own business territory, what do you think your country does to support entrepreneurs looking to expand to or from Latin America? Is that reflected in the research, do you think? And do the Latin American specific findings align with your own personal experiences in business?
Maybe I can start it this time. Maybe. If you allow me, boss. I see, for example, in Brazil, before COVID-19, our country was growing very fast. The economy was very, very nice. The unemployment rate was going down. But then we lost almost like 2 years. So now the companies are trying to recover themselves, because Many companies, they want to bankruptcy, and the others, they are trying to recover themselves after this pandemic. And when I look for Brazil, for example, most of the entrepreneurs, they are looking first to do the business in Brazil, because Brazil is very big country, looks like a continent, so they see a lot of opportunity to expand the business in Brazil. So I don't feel like the businessmen in Brazil, they are looking for making an investment in other countries. I think they prefer first to increase their own business in Brazil. And then if there is a possibility, or if it's a big company, large companies, they may think about it to go overseas. But I think the first reaction when I think about the Brazilian entrepreneurs is to explore our local country first. And I don't see a lot of benefits or incentive from the government to go overseas. That's my view from my research in Brazil.
I can continue with this topic. And one thing that I discovered reading the investigation is that international clients see Latin America as one country, or not necessarily as a lot of countries. So they expect to have coverage in all the region. The international companies used to have an office in Mexico City or in São Paulo, Rio, Bogotá or Buenos Aires, the biggest cities in Latin America, and they're expecting to receive services from all Latin America offices, but dealing not necessarily with a lot of people, but having like one point of contact. I think it's really important that in Creston we work coordinating the efforts of all the firms and having a leader of the project if we want to have work with one client all around the country. The client identifies us as one region country because obviously we share language, culture, and in general the legal system is not too different. So I think we need to strengthen our Latin America network, working on fast responsiveness from the firms, having people who can speak English. English is the international language of the businesses, even though the companies are not necessarily from UK or United States. So it's the things that we need to improve in Latin America in the future that I have learned about this this report. I think Latin America will be in the next decades a good business center because we have a lot of workforce that is cheaper than in the developed countries. The culture is very different from other countries, but once you understand the culture, the Latin American people are really hard workers. The education systems are improving, so we have educated workforce. And we are close to United States, that is one of the biggest markets in the world. So I think that we need to be prepared to work in this environment that is coming in the next decades.
And it'd be great if we could hear a little more about maybe those looking to move into Latin America to do business. You know, what is there in place to help those entrepreneurs?
Probably I can start. I live in Mexico, so there are a lot of U.S. companies here. We are close next to United States, and the cultural difference is very, very big between Mexico and the States. Even the legal system is really different here in Latin America, and in particular in Mexico, the formalities are really, really hard. No? In the States, it's probably in some part easier to make businesses. So it's a challenge to work with clients to help them to understand all the Mexican and Latin American regulations. And as big companies, investors here in Mexico take time to understand the regulation and sometimes to respect the regulation. For example, let me give a very simple example. They have the books in English, no? And the Mexican law, and in general, the law in all Latin America says that you need to have the books in Spanish, no? They have international systems that are working together in all the world, and here these local regulations try to impose some things like having the local currency and the local language. So it's very hard to work with big companies, no? Because sometimes they think, okay, I have investment in 17 different countries, and now in Mexico they want me to modify my software, no? To have the things in Spanish and with different regulations. So it's one of the biggest challenges. Also, in general, in Latin America, the rule of law is not so developed like in other countries. So here you face some challenges for doing business that is really hard to understand for foreigners, and even for us. No, obviously we don't want to live in this kind of environment, but this is a reality. You need to face this reality when you are doing business, and it's a challenge because you are like a sandwich. You are in the middle, no, between the lot of thousands of ridiculous regulations and bureaucrats that are not working in the speed that is necessary, and the company that is demanding you as advisor to be fast and to finish the work that you have been contracted. So probably this is one of the most important things. The second one, as we talked before, is the language. Here is not very common that most of the people speak good English. I'm a good example of bad English. So, but it's really hard to find people who speak English. And in our firm and in general in Creston firms, we need to have a lot of people speaking the language because we are prepared to receive international companies. In fact, I guess that most of the members prefer to work with international companies because they pay fees according to the levels of other countries, developed countries, and we receive more money, but it's a challenge to have the human structure to work with these clients. So it's interesting. We need to work harder on being prepared for working with international companies.
I see from Brazil, especially from Brazil, we have this kind of the language issues, like because we have people in Brazil who are able to speak English, but now I would say after the globalization, they are more interested to learn the language. So, and I feel like if you want to have a business outside your country, if you want to expand your business, you must be able to at least speak one language, let's say English, for example. And for us in Latin America, we must speak Spanish as well. So, and I think one of the things that I see in the local entrepreneurs that they don't speak English. Sometimes even the president of Brazil, he does not speak English. So that's maybe is one of the issue that I see when you think to grow or to expand overseas.
I think that's a great place to close off for today. Part two will be released next Wednesday. We'll be carrying on the discussion with Cesar and Francisco, covering topics like the entrepreneurial mindset, key report takeaways, and how the business landscape has evolved over the years since they've both been in business. If you'd like to read the report we've been discussing, then as always, you'll find the link in this podcast description. We really do think it's an invaluable resource for those looking to expand or move their business overseas. And join us all again next week to continue the conversation. See you soon. You won't want to miss it.
I totally agree with Francisco. So let me talk about my experience, my personal experience, because when I started working in the auditing, it was 1996. It's a long time ago. So then I had my first contact with international investors in Brazil. But at that time, I didn't speak English, of course. I mean, I still learning English, but in that time, I was like zero. But then I saw, as a businessman, I saw an opportunity because I was like 22 years old. But I saw that those guys, they are, I would say, more in compliance with the regulation. Everything has to be white or black, no gray area. So, I identify myself with this kind of culture. So then I dedicated all my career to learning English, of course the technical language to do business. But then when we joined Creston, which was 2006, and we saw that being part of a network, attend international conference, meet all the members of Creston, it was a great opportunity to increase our local business in Brazil. Because at the beginning, I always hear people, they are saying, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And I agree, because at the beginning, if I like the people and I know this person, and I will do business with them for sure. Nowadays, maybe I change a little bit my mind. I don't need to like the customer at all, but if it's good to, it's nice to have. But of course, you need to keep like knowing you or knowing your customer helps a lot. And for me, my experience was investing a lot of time, efforts in my relation between all the Creston members around the world. I almost attended most all the conference. I think I missed just like the Asian conference, unfortunately. But it helps a lot as a businessman to grow my business in Brazil. And I would say today maybe 80% of our revenue in my office in Brazil comes from international business that we have like make a deal with. Or it was referral by Crest or referral for someone that I have met during this kind of international business trip.